jump into God's Word?
Amen.
Awesome. Open up to Acts chapter 10. As we continue in our yearly theme of one more, often we have to do things that we're uncomfortable with. You know, we don't know that we could be doing. We don't know that we have the ability to do them. We once maybe thought they were wrong. You ever had that? Something you had to do that once you completely disagreed with. And now you have to change your ways. Change your thoughts about it. Things that you were raised and you grew up as wrong, you now see it as good. In 2001, Amy was pregnant with Daniel. And our cars were falling apart. I had a fancy Lincoln Mark 7, but it was an 88, and it was in the end of his life. But if you're familiar with the Lincoln Mark 7s, they had air suspension in them.
Yeah.
Man, they glide. Had a 5.0 engine. Let's not talk about the speed. But the air suspension went bad. And if you're familiar with them, when the air suspension goes bad, it's not like they just go flat. The back of it jacked up. Like a gangster car. That was me. Yeah, I created that. And it felt like you were riding on 2x4s. It was so hard, you sunk. And then when you first turn the car on, the front would come up. But as you're driving, it would sink down there. And it was weird, about to rub the ground. So as you're driving on the highway, you turn the car off and back on, and the car would jack itself back up. We need a new car, because it was dangerous. I wouldn't let Amy drive it. She didn't want to drive it. And it would jump everywhere. So as you can figure, having a baby on the way, we thought we probably needed a new car. But the way I was raised, the way I was brought to think, after living in a third world country where people had nothing and we couldn't have something that would be offensive to them, that it make it look like we were better than them, I was raised in a way that in my mind that buying a newer car was wrong. Because people with newer cars were rich snobs. They were selfish, they were greedy. And now I had a wife and a baby on the way. And my brother comforted me. He says, there's nothing wrong with getting something nice for your family.
Amen. Right.
And after praying and us doing the budget, we purchased the newest car I had ever had at the time. It was 2 years old.
Whew.
I felt like I was living high. And we enjoyed having a reliable car. But what happened is I had to adapt a new way of thinking. That just because I'm a believer doesn't mean I can't have good things.
Right.
It's a different way of thinking. And recognize that God does provide for his people. Doesn't mean I have to be fancy and show it off, but I can give praise to God for what he provides. I can appreciate the peace that God gave through prayer. And as we've been walking through this portion in Acts chapter 10, we're going to see that Peter, too, has to adapt a new way of thinking. As you and I, when we walk by faith, we'll have to adapt a new way of thinking. For the last 2 weeks, we've seen, first we saw Cornelius, a religious man. He prayed, did good things, he wanted to honor God. But he did not know Jesus yet. But because of his heart, God told him to send for someone that could tell him about Jesus. Told him to send for someone that would tell him the truth. They would give him the gospel. And that person's name was Peter. And last week we started seeing that at the same time God was working in the life of Cornelius, he was working in the life of Peter. That during prayer, God was teaching Peter new lessons. He was teaching him that the Gentile people were not bad, dirty people. He was teaching the Gentile people need Jesus too.
Amen.
God was preparing Peter for a task that Peter didn't even know about. Peter's purpose would be to make Jesus known to the Gentiles. Peter's purpose would be to reach one more for Christ. Reach one more with the gospel. So in Acts chapter 10, go down to verse 17. That's where we're going to pick up today. Acts 10, 17. That's where we left off last week. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. I thank you for being right here with us. Thank you for your word, so we can know you, so we can be challenged, so that we can live for you. I ask that you put your hand on each person in this room. There's someone here who's never called upon you for salvation, never had that time of being born again. Today can be the day of salvation. And Lord, I ask that you'd encourage each one of us through your word. Give me the words to say. Let me speak what you want today. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. A neat piece of this story here. And the first thing we see is God's guidance. Peter had been praying and learning from God. Last week we saw what it said in verse 17. That Peter doubted in himself. You ever learned that lesson that took you a long time to learn? Anybody in here that the ones that learned the hard way? Mm-hmm. It took me a lot of whoopings to learn the lesson. And then it seemed like I forgot pretty often. And so a hard lesson later. And you start to learn, and then you have kids, and you're like, why don't you look? Oh, I remember. Yeah. But Peter doubted himself. He didn't completely understand the lesson. He didn't know God was going to use him in what capacity and where he would send him. He didn't know how this was going to carry out and look like. He's still trying to process and accept this new covenant that he had just learned. He was still trying to live in the old covenant of keeping the law. But he realized he couldn't. And he needs Jesus. And so trying to learn what this new covenant means, this new testament means, was going to completely change the way he thinks. It would change the teaching as a child. Peter hasn't had time to ask other apostles for counsel. Peter hasn't had time to evaluate things just yet. But notice who's already showed up calling for him. Remember, Cornelius sent some men over to get Peter. Peter's upstairs, confused, processing, unsure. And did you know, Peter doesn't even have a clue they're downstairs asking about him. Understand this. Peter is where he does not know what's going on downstairs. He doesn't know there's people calling for him and needing him. And the men are downstairs asking, is some dude named Simon Peter here? We were sent for him. And servants, I don't know what the answer was because it doesn't even tell us that part. But while Peter was still upstairs, not knowing about this man, while he's still, as if he wasn't already confused enough, already struggling with the teaching, God spoke to him again. And in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Wow. Notice God didn't give Peter the option. He said, hey, if you're up to it, if you're not busy, there's no football game on today. Would you do me a favor? Do me a solid, man. understand, God didn't check his Peter's schedule and say, well, maybe you got that going on. He didn't check if Peter wanted to do this. He didn't check that Peter had the special gift. I'm not gifted in that way. I've got no to do it. He gifts you to it. Okay? Mm-hmm. God didn't have to check if Peter was able. God would make him able. And God will make you able for your calling. And God sent him. You realize the great commission that God has given us to carry the gospel to the whole world is not optional to the believer. The Great Commission, if you are a child of God, the Great Commission is to you. You have the calling, the responsibility, the commissioning to carry the gospel to someone else. To represent Jesus Christ. To pick up your cross. We're his representative. We speak for Christ no matter where we are. We speak for Christ no matter what else is going on in our lives. You know, you're at the ball game, you represent Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Husbands, you know when you're fighting with your wife, you're representing Christ. Can't get any money on that one either. Because a lot of times we're not thinking like Christ, are we? We're thinking like our flesh. When you serve your husband, you represent Christ. It's hard. Us husbands can make it tough. Not all of them have it as easy as my wife. No amen? But notice that God told Peter where to go. He didn't say, hey, you up to it. If you can, he said, here's what you're going to do. Go downstairs. There's already people there. We're looking for you. I think right now I'd have a whole lot of questions. My human nature would come out like, Lord, just a second here. I came up here and I was hungry. I was just praying for my lunch. You told me to kill something to eat. Can I do that first? So we're past that, Peter. We moved on to a bigger lesson. Now, I have all kinds of questions just to kind of slow things down. Hang on. Who's going with me? Where am I going? How am I going to get there? Does this match? You know what I usually hear. You know, that's funny. But he says, go downstairs. Lord, that's not bill collectors, is it? Is it my angry neighbor? Is it the cops? What you going to do? I don't know. Yeah? And God said, get up and go to him. Go with him. I sent him to you. When God speaks, we have no other choice but to obey. Because any other choice is disobedience. You want to put it off? You want to make excuses? Guess what? You're being disobedient. All we can do is obey. What Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're familiar with these verses. I challenge you to memorize these. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct that path. You trust him, and he's going to tell you where to go. You trust him, he's going to tell you what to do. Often what keeps us from God's greatest blessing, listen to me here, what keeps us from God's greatest blessings, what keeps us from letting God use us in the greatest ways, what keeps us from seeing God do huge things in our lives is our own smarts, our own experiences. You ever told God, that's not going to work out. But I think it'd be a better idea this way. I know it's a little bit dishonest, you know, and that's what many churches have done. How are we going to grow our church? Well, we do the entertainment package, which unfortunately the church did this last week at a men's conference, and the news has broken everywhere. Makes church look like fools. Because men went away from God's word and leaned on their own understanding. Well, this will be entertaining. This will be great. Men will come to see this. That's not what you're winning them to.
That's right. Amen.
Don't lean on your own understanding, or you're going to go in the wrong way because you're going to direct yourself. That's what gets us in trouble in the first place.
Amen.
Don't try to rationalize God's calling if what he's calling you to do is righteous. Wednesday, we did a sidestep a little bit and speaking of faith. And I didn't like the way I worded it as I looked back at it. Because there was an apostle that was upset in Scripture. Have an apostle get upset. Aren't they righteous? And they're humans. You know, when we get in trouble is when we think we're better than we are. We stop thinking of how much grace God had to pour out on me. Let me tell you, I don't care how cool you are. God didn't give you just a smidgen of grace. This song I keep going back to, the grace for the ocean when you drown. God gave us so much grace because of what I deserve. To save you, he's given you grace. He loves you. I mean, he's so caught up on how great we are, we forget that we are in the flesh and that we're human. And this apostle here, too, is upset. He was unable to cast out demons from a possessed man. And yet when Jesus rebuked the demons, they fled. How dare you, Lord? Who do you think you are? So the apostle asked Jesus later, why couldn't we cast out this demon? Listen to Jesus' answer here in Matthew 17, 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The apostles' problem was unbelief. They had faith only to accomplish what they knew they could do. You say, yeah, but he tried to get the demons out of that man. Yeah, he tried it in his own power. He said, often we want to do for the Lord what is humanly possible in us. But Lord, I'm not really good at that. That's not my gift. Sidestep a little bit here. How often have we heard, oh, I sure would like to see so-and-so get saved, but he's got a platform he could make Jesus known. Jesus don't need nobody's platform. He gives you a platform.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care how famous you are, Jesus don't need your fame. His name will be proclaimed.
Amen.
Because if we stop proclaiming, who cries out? The rocks will climb up, cry out. Jesus' name will be proclaimed. He will make himself known. The apostle here was too busy remembering his own humanly power. What am I confident in? Lord, I can do this for you. I can do this for you. Oh, no, I can't witness because, you know, I'm just not the type. And Jesus said, that's what I called you to, though. I'll make that your type. See, the apostle's unbelief was in Christ. He believed in himself. Jesus says, your problem is unbelief. Your faith is in the wrong place. Even though they tried to cast out the demon, they didn't have faith that the power of God could overcome that demon. They didn't have faith that God had given them the power to do this work. They were working in their own power, their own understanding, and not working through prayer. That's like you and I trying to do things for the Lord without praying. Let me just say, this is foolish. We don't spend time in prayer doing things for the Lord. We end up doing it in our flesh. And it's not honoring the Lord. Do we humble ourselves? Husbands, you want to lead your families in a closer walk with Christ? Are you praying for them? Then you're going to fail. It's quiet in here today. It must be too hot. Linda's not here. I can do this. I ain't turning the fan on. No one said amen on that either, man. It's quiet. Yeah, I got Rachel's amen. See, Jesus said, if your faith is correctly applied, if you trust the power of God, if you're humbled before Him in prayer, just a smidge. Not a word I use often because it's not very manly. But just a mustard seed of faith. I don't know how you say smidge in a manly way. Smidge. I don't know. Just a mustard seed. Understand, mustard seed was the smallest seed known to the Jews at the time. See, that's all you need for the power of God to be seen and to be manifest. It's going to allow you to do great things because of the power of God, not because of you. Your confidence should be in the Lord, not in yourself. Things they don't need confidence for, all they needed was obedience. There's things God wants to work in your life you don't need confidence for. You need obedience. When you're talking about witnessing to your neighbor, what's the first thing you say? Well, what if they ask a question I don't know? What if I know? Speak of Jesus. Speak of Jesus. There's always a great phrase in English that says, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Speak of Jesus. Trust that God's going to work with the seed that you planted. If you look at what a mustard seed is, it's a big and bushy tree. It's strong. Why came from that seed? Why? God's making a picture. If you just trust me, if you'll work, if you'll allow me to do my work through you, I'll do something great and bigger than you could ever do. Here we have Peter. How deep is his faith? He's upstairs on the rooftop talking to the Lord. He's doubting. Does doubting determine your faith? No. How often do you as a believer have questions? Lord, I don't know. What we're going to see in Peter, though, is he's going to have the faith to be obedient by the power of God. He's going to humble himself and not say, well, I got a better way, Lord. This is what Mama said, Lord. Remember, God gave him instructions. Those strange men that you've never met, you've never heard of, you've never even seen them yet, I sent them to you, Peter. So look at Peter's first step of faith in this situation here. Peter's faith is the next point we see. Look at verse 21. Then when Peter came down to the men which were sent him from Cornelius and said, he hadn't met him yet. Here's what he says. His first words to him, behold, I'm he who you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Notice here Peter's mustard seed of faith. Just a little thing. Oh, that's no big deal. No, that's huge. Notice he didn't ask them who they want or who they are. He didn't double check where they came from. He didn't ask who you're looking for. He didn't shake their hands in all the greetings. Peter confidently said, listen, I'm him. I'm who you're looking for. God's already told Peter that the visitors were going to be there. He didn't need to ask what they were there for. He was ready to go to work. His first step of faith. Just showing up and saying, you're looking for me. Wow. Not arrogant. Obedient. But the thing about that first step is so cool. Is it going to lead to a second step? Peter's next question too. Did you catch the next question? God had told him, or I hadn't told him yet, what his job was going to be with his people. So what is the next question? What's the reason he came for me? What would you? How can I help you? You catch that? He comes down, never met him before. Oh, who are you looking for? Formalities out of the way. That was the formality. I'm the guy. I'm going to help you. Let's cut the business. He said, this is from God. God has appointed it. Let's not waste time here. How can I help you? Sounds like Chick-fil-A, doesn't it? My pleasure. Isn't that what they said?
consistently.
Hey, there's Peter here. One on God. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's not waste time. You see here, that was the first step that led to the second step. In other words, what does God have planned for me? Peter has faith in God is going to use him, that God is going to do something great through him, and he's eager to get it going. And so the answer, look at verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee in his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. See, the men explained that they were sent by the man named Cornelius. And he shared who Cornelius was, of his great reputation, a good, honest man, God-fearing man. We looked at this already before, a couple weeks ago. The important thing here is that I drink some water. So that they explained who Cornelius is, and the important thing is that even the Jews thought well of this man. Why, he was trying to live for God. This wasn't normal because this man was a Roman military leader. He was a centurion. Jews would normally hate him. And yet they looked at him as a good man. More importantly, why Cornelius called for Peter? Did you catch what they said? An angel told him to call for Peter? You remember what just happened to Peter on the rooftop? He just had this experience. He had just been warned of God through an angel that these men would be there. Peter learned his task at this moment from these guys. What was his task? Verse 22, the end of it. Look at the end of verse 22. To hear words of thee. Peter knew he was going to get to preach the gospel. How awesome of a thing to hear, hey, wait, we came because he wants to hear what you got to say. Wow. He wants me to preach? He wants to open up and hear the word of God proclaim? Well, he wants to know God, and God told him how to hear of Christ. What a privilege. Now the lesson from God makes sense to Peter, because his calling, where God was calling him to, were the people that all of his life was seen as a dirty lowlife. He's supposed to go into the Gentile nation with dirty lowlives. They were another more that were unworthy to know the word of God. And they were people the Jews would not associate with. And Peter was told by God, I've made him righteous. I have cleansed them so that you can tell them the truth. I sanctified them. I set them apart of what Jesus said. Here's the second step of faith that we see in Peter. First, he was changing his thinking, and he knew when God sent him downstairs, those are the men God is speaking of. And obediently he said, here I am. Here's the second step, which we also don't see as a big deal, but that's how faith works. It gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. Anybody in Sunday school last week? Talked about welcoming people into our homes, welcoming believers. Well, here it is. These men just came from Caesarea about 55 miles away. Not a nice air-conditioned VW. They were dirty, they were sore, they were hungry. And Peter chose to be hospitable. And if you were in Sunday school last week, you'll see that hospitality is not an option for a believer. That's who we are. We're supposed to be to other believers. And so Peter automatically takes care of these men for nights. And this is faith, because self-respecting Jew at the time would not allow a Gentile to open his home. You do not let a Gentile into your home, much less someone that came from a Roman soldier. And yet Peter says, you're from the Lord. Through God's lesson here of faith in God's ways, Peter's thinking started to change. He started changing what he believes. He started changing his habits. He started changing his views. And he welcomed in people that the rest of the community would shun, would reject. God's lesson of Peter was more than information. It transformed Peter. Peter's actions were changed. His thinking was changed. When God teaches you a lesson in his word, it's not so you can quote a verse to somebody. It's not so you can pray and be proud to have a little more knowledge. It's so that your life will change. And so your actions will change because your mind has changed. Because your heart has changed. You see how Peter's changing? It's changing from a hatred of these people to a love to these people, that God can use them. We see the first step of faith is trusting these men were sent of God. Second step we see in this little piece of the story here is allow these people to enter his home. He was hospitable to Gentiles. You know what? Those two, well, we would say, oh, that's small. That's no big deal. Led to a big step of faith. Look at verse 23, second half of it. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. On tomorrow, Peter went away with him. Okay, hey, stay tonight here. I'll feed you. You guys get cleaned up. You get comfortable, get the rest, and tomorrow we're going to travel together. And Peter was obedient to go where God had sent him. Now, where God sent him, remember, his mama had told him all his life, that's nasty, it's gross. His priests have always told him, don't you go over there. That's they're defiled people. They're not worthy of our presence. We are of God. And now he's learning. God loves them.
Amen.
They need Jesus. They need what I have. And how selfish it would be of me to not give it. How disobedient it would be for me not to go. So he would go to their home. He would travel through dangerous terrain. He would encounter criminals. He would enter though what was seen as dirty land and truly actually breaking laws of the Jewish community. All because he trusted God's way of thinking. Instead of thinking his own way, his thinking was no longer his. He was being conformed, no longer being conformed to this world, but was being transformed by the renewing of his mind. As Romans 12, 1 and 2 will tell you. Peter knows that he will be blessed of God with opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus. Believer, you with me? If you're a child of God, the greatest blessing God can give you is the opportunity to serve Jesus. I want a new car. Sometimes that new car is more of a curse than it is a blessing. I'm not saying they're bad. I didn't share that with you. I'm saying if it's a distraction to what God has called you to, it's going to hurt you more than it's going to help you. The biggest blessing you can see is God opened the door for you to tell about Jesus. Why? The power of God is in you that you must be saved. But Peter says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The greatest blessing you can have is to represent Jesus Christ. So Peter goes through this. To follow an opportunity to bring Jesus known. He's going to travel to proclaim Christ. And this is the blessing of God to be used for his glory. Now as we see Peter continue to grow in his faith, continue to let God use him and taking steps, he goes all the way to the way he's known for dying. Even on the cross. Requesting to be buried or killed upside down on the cross because he's not worthy to die the way Christ, his Lord did. You see, what steps of faith will you and I do? How serious do we take this Great Commission? How serious do we take in reaching one more? Because the Great Commission isn't optional to you and I. Reaching my neighbor for Christ isn't my option. Again, it's not my job to reach them for the Lord. It's my job to plant a seed in their life. It's not my job to reach my classmates, but it is my job to represent Christ. At work, I'm supposed to represent Christ. It's hard around here during the week. I'm by myself, so. Everyone I've worked with has gotten saved. I'm still praying for some. You see, it's not an option. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ. Sometimes God calls us to counter our own ideas, counter what we have learned. And he teaches us first. Then he calls us. But he doesn't call us on our time. He doesn't call us when we want to. He doesn't call us when we're ready. He doesn't call us when we're excited. He calls us when he's ready. When he says it's time. And the biggest blessing we can have is to know God is using us. Because that's what adds value to our life. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're just going to close in a song together. And hopefully we're challenged that when God calls us, that we will go. The truth is, we're not going alone. He tells us he's with us. He will never forsake us. So wherever he leads, we should. Made a segue real good into our song, didn't I? That's right. I worked hard on that. Now, where you go, wherever he leads, wherever he calls, because some of us don't have to think too hard. We don't need a witness to. God has already placed it on our heart. But man, let's be honest. That's when we start going, oh. And we get nervous. I don't know why. I'll talk to the chief about Chiefs about to anybody. I'll talk about the Cardinals. Well, not this year. They're kind of embarrassing. Okay. But then it comes to talking about Jesus, and Satan does something very powerful. He puts the fear of God in us. He throws up all these scare tactics, these nerve things. They might get mad. That's right. Sometimes we just need to start with prayer. Let me rephrase that. Always, we need to start with prayer. Do you know in Ephesians, where he gets into the armor of God, all this big, tough, heavy stuff. Like a man. Battle. More power. You know what he ends with? Don't you stop praying. You stop praying, all the rest of that is not going to make you strong. Right. Bob Carlyle's song, repeated over and over. When you see me on my knees, it's not because I'm weak. I'm getting stronger. Let's sing together. Where he leads, I will follow. Two verses.